From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural commodities markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. On this Tuesday, we'll take a look at the agricultural energy markets a bit later in the program, and we'll update you on what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming should be here. As usual, we'll hear from Dave Dickey, but this week we'll hear about the Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau's take on the new legislative session, lame duck, and next year. Dave caught up with Mary Kay Thatcher of the American Farm Bureau while we were at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention last week. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking in on the numbers from the CME Group on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures from the wheat pit at 626 and a quarter for the nearby December, down 46 and a half today. The March at 664 and three quarters, down 47 and three quarters. And July at $7 and a quarter, down 48 and a quarter cents. Hard red July in Kansas City settled $7.36 and a quarter, down 43 and one quarter cents. December corn, 526 and a half, down 29. The March at 540, 29 cents lower. May contract 546, down 29 and a half cents. In July at 549 and a quarter, down 30. December futures for the corn pit at $4.92, a settlement price down 27 cents. January soybeans $12.19 and three quarters, 66 and three quarters lower. The March at 1227, down 66 and three quarters. The May at 1224 and three quarters, 65 and a half cents lower. And July 1224 and a quarter, down 66 and a quarter. The next year's November contract at $11.36 and a quarter, down 57 and three quarters. Meal was off $18.30, oil down $2.50. CME Group Livestock, December live cattle at 98.45, 77 and a half cents lower today. The February there at 102.10. That's down 72 and a half cents as well. And the November feeders, 112.15, down 25. January contract at 114.85, down 20 cents. December lean hog futures, $1.30 lower at $68.32.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures are trading at $82.33 a barrel. They're down $2.52. Ethanol at 212 and 4 tenths, down 7 and 7 tenths. Natural gas at 382, 2.5 cents lower. December heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at 231 and 2 tenths, a nickel and 8 tenths lower. And the gold futures today at $1,338.30 an ounce, down $30.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,017. Just about 185 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 79.2 is up 0.69. The CRB index on the afternoon at 296.22 is down 9.8 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area from the National Weather Service. They say today, mostly cloudy, a high near 53 degrees, west-southwest winds at 5 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday night, rain likely. This is for tomorrow, actually. Rain likely before midnight, cloudy, a low of 36, calm winds becoming north-northwest between 7 and 10 miles an hour, though gust as high as 18 miles an hour. Then by the time we get to Thursday, should be partly sunny, a high near 46, north-northwest winds between 6 and 11 miles an hour, though gust all the way to 18. On Friday, should be sunny and breezy, a high near 52. Friday night, mostly clear, a low 37. Saturday night, partly sunny, a high near 55. Saturday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 41, and Sunday should be mostly cloudy, a high near 56 degrees. Sunday night, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 46 here in Urbana-Champaign. And on Monday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 57 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from New Market, Indiana, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. I had a good trip back from part of the world you came from up in northern Illinois. I was with the corn growers this morning at the Illinois River Energy Ethanol Plant, quite a plant there in Rochelle.
Yeah, I heard stories about you running the meeting up there and doing a fine job as always and getting positive comments from some of our customers up in that area.
Well, positive, but of course we did see the open. It was ugly this morning and it remained that way all day long. What happened?
Well, I was trying to just start off on a positive note there, Todd. Once again, the Chinese ministry basically was talking about unveiling plans for more stringent measures to tackle the consumer price inflation over there, talking about trying to stop speculation, hoarding, and cutting back and raising interest rates and all the different things along the way. And, of course, no confirmation of any corn deal made with Argentina that we were trading quite extensively yesterday. So between that, the Irish financing problems here popping up with the Eurodollar, the dollar going to the highest it's been since early September, and the crude oil selling off over $2.50 now, and the gold down sharply and silver down sharply. It didn't do anything good except send a lot of our speculators to the door. And, we had a very overbought situation in the corn and the beans, and basically it really took its toll again today, just like it did on Friday.
If you were to look ahead, will there be more yet to come to the downside?
Well, we filled the gap on the December corn left after the crop report. We sort of like leaving that open and having some sort of a resistance there popping around. I think that today's moves is going to cause some margin call selling and liquidation to continue a little bit here that way. And I don't think that China is going to come to any rescue of this market right soon. They've got enough on the books and feeling comfortable about it, and they're wanting to control or knock the food prices down for their inflation. The food inflation over there, it was running around 10.1%. So they're wanting to knock that down because their overall inflation was running around 4%. So that is one of the things that's really hitting on this that wave. So I think that we hit a lot of stops today. The one great thing that did happen today was we did touch limit down, but we did not stay there. So we don't have expanded limits tomorrow, and anybody that did want to get out today did have that opportunity, and that isn't pent-up demand to just say, get me out tonight.
I was thinking that maybe one of the other positive things, if you can think of that, was that while the gap filled today, it didn't gap down and leave an island top in the marketplace.
No, it sure didn't, and that's also a good thing as far as the technicians are concerned, because we don't want to have all the other technical things going against us besides China and all their comments and what's going on. The other thing today, Todd, is we did get some better forecasts for down in South America, and we've got a little bit of a chance of rain for tomorrow night as you're going through the forecast there, and I think that any and all of us could sure use a little shower around to add a little moisture back, if nothing else, is to save our trees before we go into freezing the ground.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that's about it for today. I think that, it's not time to sell cash, and it's time to sit back and wait for fundamentals to take over.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Bob Baisdiffer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now here's Dave Dickey with today's look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the European Union's executive arm will unveil Thursday proposals to overhaul the bloc's contentious 60 billion euro agricultural subsidies program. The stakes are high, with Europe's leading farming economies, Germany and France, squaring off against EU budget cutters led by the United Kingdom and big farming economies in East Europe. They have repeatedly slammed historical common agricultural policy, contending they award France and Germany the biggest slices of the cake. Thursday's plans will form the basis of legislative proposals for reform, which are due to be finalized by July next year and take effect in 2014. The CAP is the EU's system of agricultural subsidies and programs designed to provide farmers with a reasonable standard of living, consumers with quality food at fair prices, and to preserve rural heritage. A report by the National Research Council contends that federal officials have underestimated the risks associated with building a new lab in northeast Kansas that will study dangerous animal diseases that can be passed to humans. The report criticizes placing the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility in Manhattan, a college town in the heart of cattle country. The Department of Homeland Security says a lab, which it refers to as the NBAF, will be safe, but the Research Council notes in its report that DHS itself estimates there is about a 2% chance each year that a pathogen could be released. The Treasury Department today says that China, the biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury securities, has boosted its holdings for the third straight month. China's holdings of Treasury debt rose to $883.5 billion in September. That's a 1.7% increase from August. Overall, foreign governments increased their purchases of Treasury securities by $39.5 billion in September. That's a record high. Fitch Ratings expects the outlook for the U.S. agribusiness sector will remain stable in 2011, driven by solid global demand for agricultural commodities and biofuels. The new report says the significant demand for agribusiness products is chiefly driven by population growth and increasing middle class in emerging markets, especially China. In addition, the weaker U.S. dollar is spurring greater export demand for commodities. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, my thanks go to Dave Dickey for not only the agricultural news, but he'll cover for me tomorrow and Thursday here during this program, as I'll travel to the United Soybean Board SDS Sudden Death Syndrome Conference in Fayetteville, Arkansas this week on Thursday, on Wednesday and Thursday, and be back here for hopefully the closing market report on Commodity Week on Friday afternoon. I've been traveling quite a little bit, out 10 days with the corn growers in the last 3 weeks in Kansas City with Dave last week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Fayetteville later in the week, out with the Farm Doc folks in the month of December for 5 or 6 days. And then, of course, the Corn and Soybean Classics are coming up, too. I think 25 days on the road in about 2.5 months. So thanks to Dave, because I know he has to cover for me when I'm gone. Speaking of Dave, while we were in Kansas City last week, he caught up with Mary Kay Thatcher. Thatcher is the Public Policy Director for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He asked her about the implications of the Republican-controlled Agricultural Committee. We'll hear from Mary Kay Thatcher and Dave Dickey's interview in just a moment.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Here's Dave's interview with Mary Kay Thatcher.
Well, I'd answer that in two ways. One is that I'm a firm believer it's never good if the House, the Senate, and the presidency are all of the same party, whether it's Democratic or Republican. I think you get much better transparency, and much more is done out in the daylight if you have at least one of those bodies of a different party. So I think you're going to get a lot more done in committees in the next year. You're going to have a lot more openness on the House floor, a lot more debate. I think that's always good for policy. Now, specifically with the Republicans, I'd say it's probably a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, you're going to wander around here today and find people say, well, this is great for trade. And we certainly hope it is. One would have to believe that you're going to have Dave Camp as the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, a very big pro-trader, and that the Republicans are going to encourage the administration to send the Panama, the Korea, the Colombia free trade agreements. But, you know, many of the folks that we lost were very good friends, were rural Democrats, very moderate, very pro-trade. And we don't really know about all the Republicans. We know some of them are Tea Party activists that are a little bit isolationist at times. So we hope we can convince them to be pro-trade. But I think to just assume, oh, trade's a winner in this, is a big assumption.
You mentioned the loss of rural Democrats. They were blue dog Democrats in the heartland of the country. Do you have a sense of how that might play out? Will there be a tendency to move to the polls?
Oh, I think what we're having now is a much more liberal and a much more conservative Congress and not as many folks in the middle, for sure. We lost like half of the Blue Dog Democrats. So that's a real loss for us because they tended to be our good friends. I think what happened is in the country, we had some of those folks who voted for cap and trade. We had some, you know, for the health care bill. I'm told that 25 members lost that voted for health care, cap and trade, and the stimulus bill. That's a pretty big number. And I think that's a pretty good indication of what people said. That's not the moderate Democrat we thought we elected.
Let's look at some particular issues. The biodiesel tax credit languished a full year. Nothing ever got done. Ethanol is now on the block with the blender's credit. Will it fall prey to revenue reduction measures?
I think the lame duck session is going to be pretty lame, and we're really not going to accomplish much. We have to pass a continuing resolution or the government will shut down. So I suspect we'll pass one that'll take us till maybe March, and this Congress will simply dump that problem on the next Congress. The other thing I think they will pass is the expiring tax provisions, the estate tax, the capital gains, the alternative minimum tax. And I say that because people know that we're at almost 10% unemployment, and I don't think they want that hit on the economy on January 1st when all those taxes expire. We hope that the expiring tax provisions can also include the ethanol credit and the biodiesel. I wouldn't bet as much that it will as I would that I think we will resolve estate taxes and alternative minimum tax and some of those things.
There's a couple of different state tax policies out there being debated now, what the rate is, where the cutoffs are. Based on your conversations, what do you think likely will happen?
Well, I suspect what will happen is we'll get an extension of these expiring provisions for maybe 6 months, maybe a year, and we'll have to really do it again. But I think we may be able to get an extension on the estate tax, at least at maybe the $3.5 million a person level at 45%. Now, you know, who knows? Just yesterday, this big budget deficit commission report came out, and I think they highlight very well how serious the budget deficit is. So, you know, we would like to have in Farm Bureau, we'd like to have it fully repealed. We'd like to have at least $5 million a person. Realistically, do I think we can actually get there? No. There are others who tell you, yeah, they really believe that. But I think if we can get $3.5 million a person forever, we'll be doing really well.
Colin Peterson wanted to push the Farm Bill next year, wanted to get a jump on it. Does that process get delayed?
It gets delayed, but I think it probably would have been delayed anyway. I mean, I applaud Colin for doing that and getting all the groups in gear to really look at their policy and say, what do we want? And his idea was, if we're going to do budget reconciliation in 2011, if we're going to cut the deficit, then why don't we do it together instead of writing budget reconciliation and having to cutting the farm bill in 2011 and then go back and really rewrite it in 2012. But I think what's going to happen is, A, budget reconciliation will move too fast for us to really have the whole farm bill process done. And B, especially now when you have a new chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, a new chairman of the House Ag Committee, they have to spend some time staffing up. They got a lot of people to hire. They're going to have to do oversight hearings. They're going to have call all these groups back that already testified and say, well, now that you've been through your fall policy processes, what is it you want in a farm bill? So I suspect we couldn't get serious about putting the pencil down to the paper until at least least late 2011, and it'll be 12 when we write it. But, you know, from an inside the Beltway perspective, I'd rather write it in an election year than a non-election year. Next year, obviously, the farm bill is going to be a big ticket item, but everything next year, absolutely everything, is going to be controlled by this budget deficit and how serious Congress decides to get about it. If you come in and you say to the Ag committees, cut 5% of your spending, cut 8%, whatever the number may be, it's a very difficult thing to do. But there's going to have to be a lot of soul searching done on, you know, does this conservation program work better than this? Could we live without direct payments if we had better crop insurance? You know, what do we do about that? The budget deficit will control every topic next year.
Would non-discretionary spending also potentially take a hit?
Oh, it absolutely will. It will certainly take a hit. I think there are a lot of people looking at saying, we're not having earmarks anymore. Now, whether that actually passes or not, you heard a lot of Republicans who won in this election, a lot of the new guys talking about wanting to do that. But discretionary spending is going to take a hit. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, we're going to have to do something about taxes. I mean, I think the one thing you will find from that 1,000-plus page report is that a real recognition that unless we hit everything, we're not going to make progress. I mean, we could do away with the whole ag budget. We wouldn't make a dent in reducing the deficit.
That's Mary Kay Thatcher of the American Farm Bureau Federation. She manages their public policy. Spoke with Dave Dickey at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention last week in Kansas City. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Harry Cooney of GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, is now on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Thank you so much, Harry, for filling.
Good afternoon, Todd. Kind of an exciting day to be on here with all this market activity.
Yeah, can you give me a big, broad perspective of how you see it all?
Well, what's happening here is that the energy markets, and in addition to the energies, the grains, the metals, they're all in the process of setting back after big runs the past couple of months, of course. We know how a lot of these markets have run sky high, gold over $1,400, corn over $5, even touched over $6, our crude oil up over $85 there, got all the way up to $88. And so what's happened here is the dollar has started to rally some. Even though some of the outlets talk about the interest rates still declining, if you look overall about the about interest rates here in the futures market, we're starting to move back up, and so that's one reason why the dollar is starting to firm up here a little bit. It had gotten pounded down quite a bit, and so right now we're actually starting to see commodities back off of those extreme highs that they had been occurring about each day there for a while. So crude oil back down here today to around $82. We think possibly it can back off a little further. Some in the news here, some concerns resurfacing about the European debt problems over there and such. And so, again, just at a time when we would like to see it set back, because I've talked on this program before that we want to take a look at doing contracting for 2011 sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas time to start and get done with it then by around Valentine's Day.
You think you'll find a chance?
Oh, exactly. I think this is the beginning of something that's going to be very important for us. Now, I know I'm looking at the stock market today also. It's down about 200. I don't like to see that. But again, that's still at 11,000. So sometimes we need all the markets to kind of set back to give us this opportunity, this window of opportunity to start buying some end user products for next year, diesel fuel, gasoline, propane. So if I was an end user out there, I'd start getting in my mind, what amounts do I want to buy? What price levels do I really want to look at? And then talk to the local FS member in your local area and get a plan in place. This is an excellent time. Sometime probably around Thanksgiving to Christmas, we'll start looking at doing some contracting.
There's an opportunity in each and every move. Thank you so much for being with us.
Sure, thank you.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Fast Food Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1620, the first corn found in the U.S. by British settlers was discovered in Provincetown, Massachusetts, by 16 desperately hungry pilgrims led by Miles Standish, William Bradford, Stephen Hopkins, and Edward Tilley at a place they named Corn Hill. The food came from a previously harvested cache belonging to a local Indian tribe. The corn provided a much-needed supply of food, which saw the pilgrims through their first winter in the New World. A commemorative plaque placed on Corn Hill quotes in part, "And sure it was God's good providence that we found this corn, for else we know not how we should have done." In 1786, the Massachusetts State Legislature awarded a grant of £200 for the completion of what are believed to be the first U.S.-made spinning, carding, and roping machines. The machines, known as the State Models, were advertised to the benefit of the infant but growing American textile machinery industry. In 1934, Carl von Linde died. A German engineer, his invention of a continuous process of liquefying gases in large quantities formed the basis for the modern technology of refrigeration. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
It's kind of cool here, but I suppose we'll call that seasonable. It's just been warmer than usual several times over this really nice fall, although it's been dry, too. What do you see in the weather forecast?
Well, we are going to definitely be colder, and we do see a couple of small systems, not big ones, that will produce a little bit of precipitation in the Midwest later this week, but I don't think we're really looking at anything extraordinary with our weather once we get into the weekend and at least through the first half of Thanksgiving week. Not a lot going on. Temperatures are probably going to go back above normal, and precipitation chances aren't zero, but they're pretty spotty. It looks like right around or just after Thanksgiving, we'll trend with some colder weather. Not necessarily a lot of precipitation, but it certainly looks like the middle to the end of Thanksgiving week, and as we get into that first weekend of December, looks colder.
The Ohio River Valley at one point was in an official drought. Do they remain in such?
Well, there's certainly not enough precipitation that we see in the forecast over the next week to 10 days, and maybe out to 14, that would put an end to that. Now, there is some precipitation going on right now across portions of the eastern and southern areas of the Ohio Valley, but it's a real quick-moving storm. So, to answer your question, there's a little bit of precipitation coming to the Ohio Valley, but not enough to break the drought.
And then closer to you, there have been parts of the hard red winter wheat-growing regions that have been awfully dry, too.
Yeah, and what we're seeing is we're seeing a more active weather pattern in that part of the country, but we're seeing a lot of the precipitation being snagged by the Cascades, the Sierra Nevada, and the northern and central Rockies, which in a La Nina pattern, which we're in right now, is to be expected. As you get a lot of strong storms that come off the West Coast, but they move so fast, they sort of skip over some of those hard winter wheat areas, and precipitation is sometimes hard to come by, especially this time of year, and we see that trend continuing.
Turn your attention to South America. Tell me about Brazil and Argentina, growing regions.
Well, it looks a little wet down there. Precipitation chances, especially in Brazil, look pretty high over the next week to 10 days. Argentina, not as wet, but chances of showers look pretty good there as well. So looks like good chances of precipitation. Brazil will see temperatures a touch below normal, but nothing extraordinary. Temperatures a little bit closer to normal in Argentina.
Any place else on the globe that we didn't touch on that you want to make sure we talk about?
I think we've hit the highlights.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that is Don Day. He's with Day Weather. Out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
And just a reminder, the Closing Mark Report is available on our website. That address is willag.org, willag.org. While I was out, I was asked a couple of times about the website and how you might be able to go a little further back than, for instance, a day, because that's the way it happens on our website. This afternoon, I'll change out the Closing Mark Report from yesterday to today's. Well, you can always sign up on iTunes to have the Closing Mark Report, all the rest of the agricultural programming from willag.org, downloaded to your computer automatically. Go to apple.com, download iTunes, and then it's probably just easiest to search for my name, Todd Gleason. You'll find the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week there. You can also come back to willag.org. There's a set of directions on our website to show you how to sign up for the podcast. It's all at willag.org and part of the service from Illinois Public Media. You have a great afternoon.